Welcome to another episode of Connection Point with John Shields, the lead pastor of The Gathering, a Christian community that meets at Holly Hill Mall in Burlington, North Carolina.
Well, good morning, Maverick kinfolk, and welcome to the broadcast on this another Lord's Day here at The Gathering, a Christian community. Thank you for being with us this morning. I hope that you're somewhere that is cool and comfortable after a very, very hot week. Thank you, Maverick Radio, for continuing to give not only The Gathering, but other faith communities here in our county a voice here on Sunday mornings. If you've been listening, we are now on week 7 in a series that I've been doing titled In the Beginning, God. The first 4 words of the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. And I use that title talking about our understanding of our concept of who that God is and how he has chosen to reveal himself to us. The Bible says that God has chosen to reveal himself to us through the revelation of Scripture. Holy Scripture. It says that God has chosen to reveal himself to us through creation. In other words, the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, declare the glory of God. We can see that his order of the universe and his invisible qualities on display through the magnificence of the creation of this universe that we live in. And then ultimately, we come to understand who God is and what he is like through his ultimate revelation, and that is the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, "If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." A.W. Tozier is a writer of the 20th century that I quote quite frequently. At the beginning of each of these messages, now on week 7, I use this quote to get us started. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, when you first hear that sentence, you might think, well, John, that is an overstatement. Maybe that is leaning towards an exaggeration. But when you pull back from it and really think about it, you begin to realize that it's not. Because our understanding of the God presented to us in Scripture, in the beginning, God, that God, the one and true only God, everything else about our faith will stem from our understanding, either our understanding or our information about him that is true and correct, or a misunderstanding because our information about God is unclear and distorted, and our way of thinking will be tilted from that point forward. So we're trying to discover in this series what God has said about himself and how we can know him better because of the importance of this matter. Tozier says, once we have the information about what comes in our minds when we think about God, we can take that information and predict, he writes, with certainty, the spiritual future of that person. So think about that. I can talk to you or you can talk to someone, and we can discover in a few minutes really a person's basic understanding of who God is, and is that understanding actually based on creation and Scripture and the person of Jesus, or is that person's creation and understanding of God Is it a figment of their imagination? Is it a God that they, in fact, created in their mind, a God like they want him to be, a God of their own making? And the scriptures tell us clearly in many places, but specifically in the Ten Commandments, that God has not given us that right to do that. He says, I am the one true God. You are not to have any other gods besides me, little g, and you are not to make any gods in any sense of a shape or an image, not only in a physical sense, but in a mental sense, in terms of our understanding of who God really is. So what is your God view? I know if you've been listening week 7, you've heard me talk about that, but what is your God view, and what formed that God view, or what is helping to form your view of God? And we've been talking for the last 2 weeks about the specific attribute of God at the core of who he is, as he has revealed himself to us, is holiness. And we've talked about that the last 2 weeks at length. Today, we're going to transition into another attribute of God, and from this attribute issue a number of other things that we know and learn about him. So today, we're talking about knowing a faithful God and why that matters. Knowing a faithful God and why that matters to you and me in real time, right now, street level, here on planet Earth. Now, I don't have to tell you that we live in a world that is changing so rapidly that we can't keep up. In fact, we're inundated with so much information all the time. And with a cell phone in our hand, it's almost become an extension of most people's arms, a cell phone, that there is so much information coming at us. News 24/7, social media 24/7. Everywhere you turn, there is just this tsunami of information coming at us. And it gets burdensome and overloading. And I say to our congregation often on Sunday morning, before we start, let's call time out. Let's ask God. There's a reason he says to be still and know that I am God, to help us block out all of the noise of life around us so we can center and focus and contemplate and consider who God is, how he wants to relate to us, how we can relate to him. The very author of life who laid down the blueprint for humankind, that we can be in touch with him and connected with him. So the world is shifting constantly. As someone said, change is the only constant in this world. And so we need someone we can base our life on who is faithful. Not sometime, not batting 500, but 1,000%. All the time. Never, ever failing to be faithful in our life. And how important that is, how comforting that is, how much of a sense of security it gives us day in and day out, knowing that God has so revealed himself that he has provided a way for us to be in a personal, saving relationship with him. and that God will always, always, not sometime, but all the time, be faithful in our life. Now, I want to talk about some scripture relative to that, and we'll unpack that a little later on in the broadcast. We begin in the book of Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. In Lamentations 3, a very familiar text, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you, this is beautiful, the one who calls us into relationship, the one who saves us from our sins, is faithful, and he will do it. It's an incredible promise of his faithfulness. Now, what does that mean for us? C.S. Lewis writes, and I want to begin unpacking this a little bit with his words, our understanding of God and his truth oftentimes is an unbiblical, inaccurate, distorted view. That's the thought we started with today. So if we lay that grid over our suffering, we will draw very wrong conclusions. What many people have created is their version of God, which barely resembles the God of Scripture. For instance, many people think God's primary role in their life is to ensure their happiness, kind of a payback theology. If I live relatively good, as defined by us, then God is somehow obligated to make sure our life is basically carefree. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity, wrote C.S. Lewis. Another author, Randy Alcorn, wrote, if you base your faith on the lack of affliction, your faith lives on the brink of extinction and will fall apart because of a frightening diagnosis or a shattering phone call. Token faith will not survive suffering, nor should it. So again, we must allow, we must let the Scriptures define for us what God's faithfulness means. So we have to ask ourselves the question, in our mind, what does it mean when I say, or more importantly, when the Scripture says that God is faithful? And so how do we interpret that? Do we interpret God's faithfulness as the author wrote here? Do we see God's faithfulness and say God is faithful when only good things are happening in our life? If we happen to be healthy and wealthy and wise, or at least think that, when we feel like that, do we put God in a box and only declare him faithful if he succumbs to every whim and whimper that we may have, that he satisfies all of our requests toward him? Is that what we equate God's faithfulness with? And if that's true, then we're going to back away from it and determine that God isn't faithful, because that's not what the faithfulness of God, again, that's why we're doing these teachings, to clarify what God says about himself. And so let's talk about God's faithfulness. What does the Bible say? What themes is it talking about in our life when it says that God is faithful? Well, in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is in jail, and he says in his letter, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this." Now watch this. What is he confident of? Now he's in jail for preaching the gospel. So if Paul had the faithfulness of God tied to no adversity, then we wouldn't have this letter, because he's in jail. And he says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you," right, "will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That he, Jesus, or God, who began a good work in us, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I don't have to live thinking that this is all up to me, that I work in coordination, in conjunction with God. It's not, yes, he asked me to be faithful, but my faithfulness is going to be somewhat fickle, hopefully less and less as you learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Nevertheless, it's going to be imperfect no matter what. However, God's is perfect. His faithfulness to us. So we can rest in that and take great comfort and solace knowing this promise that God, who began this good work of salvation in us, will carry it to the across the finish line until the day of Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy, he says to him, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know," here it is again, "I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Who's doing what? God. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that who? He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." See how that works? Now, I love also Jude 24, one chapter, verse 24. "To him who is able," notice how it doesn't say "to you," it says "to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To him, to Jesus, who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us one day before the glorious presence of God without fault and with great joy, he could not help but conclude, "To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Crazy good promise. Now, you're going to recognize this one out of all of them relative to the faithfulness of God. When Jesus was fixing to leave the earth physically, he said to the disciples, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them in Matthew 28 and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and by extension has now been given to them and to us. Therefore," he says, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded." And watch this, the faithfulness of God, where they have wanted to move forward without this promise. "And surely I am with you always." Not sometimes, not on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, but always, to the very end of the age, to the consummation of history. He says, "I'm going to be with you always to that point, and then we are going to be with him." Isn't that something to celebrate? In 1 Corinthians, here's another great promise of God's faithfulness. "These sayings happened to them," Paul wrote, "as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come." So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Now watch this. "And God is faithful." Look at the context of this. "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Isn't that wonderful to know that we don't have to be victims, that we don't have to cave and surrender to all of the temptations that come to us in this life, that God says, I'm not going to let your temptations go beyond what you can bear. In other words, that you are somehow locked in to surrender to them, that there's nothing you can do about it but give in. No, he says, "I'm not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And I'm going to also provide a way out so that you can endure it." And he says that, and God is faithful. God's going to do that. He's going to faithfully do that for you and me if we will walk with him and allow him to do that for us. Now, certainly we can reject this, and many, if not most, do. But that doesn't, any rejection of this and doesn't negate the truth of this wonderful promise of God's faithfulness to us. Now, here's another one that's wonderful. If we confess our sins, and what that means is that we agree with God that whatever, fill in the blank, that it's sin against him. We agree with God that, yes, it's sin. In other words, we don't say, "Oh, well, this is really not sin. This really wasn't that bad. It was a little white lie or whatever the case might be. We somehow justify it, rationalize it, call it anything but what it is. That's not confession. Confession is saying, yeah, it is what it is, and I did it. And I'm going to confess this because I'm sorry, because I do know it's sin. I do know that sin is against you, and I'm asking you to forgive me for what it is. The Bible says if we do that, he, here it is faithful and what? Just. And what will he do? He will forgive us. Can you imagine? I hope you can imagine what life's like without this provision of the faithfulness of God. It says he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I mean, that is about as good as it gets. Knowing in other places in Scripture, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our mediator. He is interceding for us in accordance with the will of God, and that we can come to him open, transparent, vulnerable. We don't have to hide. It's such freedom and just coming before the Lord and saying, look, this is my sin, and I know it's my sin, and I'm confessing it to you, and I'm asking you to forgive me and enable me not to keep sinning. And the Bible says that God is faithful, and he's just, and he will forgive our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow, that's good stuff. In 2 Timothy, Paul said, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, watch this, notice the turn. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If we are faithless, God remains faithful, because he can't be other than he is. He's God. And that is an incredible promise. The great theologian J.I. Packer said, God's life does not change. God's character does not change. God's truth does not change. God's ways do not change. God's purposes do not change. God's Son does not change. God's faithfulness in all of these things, because of that, God doesn't change. God is faithful. He's constant and changeless, and he is faithful. The great songwriter of old, you know the song, I hope, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, therefore ever will be. So we don't have to wake up tomorrow wondering if God is going to be faithful. We don't have to go through the day today wondering, I wonder if God is going to be faithful. We don't have to lie down tonight and say, as I close my eyes, I wonder if God's going to be faithful through the night. Listen, God can't be other than he is. And as his children, God's promises of faithfulness are a guarantee to you and me. Not faithfulness that there won't be speed bumps in our life. Not faithfulness in the sense that life won't bring to us some hard knocks and perhaps suffering. That's not what it means to say that God is faithful. It means that no matter what, God will remain faithful to you and me to the end, to the day of completion, till we go to be with him, either through the grave or through the rapture, that we can trust him, even though there will be many times we don't understand him, perhaps, we can trust him. Because God can't be other than he is, and he is faithful. Beloved, I want you to know that, to live that, to walk in that, and understand the benefits and the blessing of living in an awareness of the faithfulness of God. So thank you for being with us this morning, the Gathering, a Christian community, and may the faithfulness of God this week be realized in your life until we meet again. God bless.
Well, that's it for this episode of Connection Point with John Shields. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. We hope that today's episode has caused you to draw closer to the Lord and your walk with Him. If you'd like to know more about The Gathering, a Christian Community, you can find us on the web at www.thegatheringachristiancommunity.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on YouTube. We hope that you have a great week, and may God bless you.